Hello and welcome to another episode of Twimmel Talk, the podcast where I interview interesting people doing interesting things in machine learning and artificial intelligence. I'm your host, Sam Charrington. This week on the podcast features a series of conversations with speakers from the AI Summit in New York City. The theme of that conference and this series is AI in the enterprise, and I think you'll find a really interesting mix of both technical and case study-oriented discussions this week. Please note that on Wednesday, December 13th, we'll be holding our last Twimmel online meetup of the year. Bring your thoughts on the top machine learning and AI stories of 2017 for our discussion segment, and for our main presentation, Bruno Gonçalves will be discussing the paper Understanding Deep Learning Requires Rethinking Generalization by Xiyuan Zhang from MIT and Google Brain and others. You can find more details and register at twimmelai.com/meetup. To close out our AI Summit New York series, I speak with Sharif Mitias, Head of Technology, Digital, and Strategy at restaurant chain TGI Fridays. Sharif joins us to discuss how Fridays is utilizing conversational AI to enhance customer loyalty. Sharif wants Fridays to be known as a tech company that happens to sell burgers and beer, and in this conversation, we get an in-depth look at the technology landscape they've put in place to move the company in that direction. Sharif also shares some of the things on the horizon for Fridays, as well as some of what they've learned along the way. Be sure to share your feedback or questions on the show notes page, which you'll find at twimmelai.com/talk/82. This AI Summit series is brought to you by our friends at IBM Power Systems. IBM Power Systems offers servers designed for mission-critical applications and emerging workloads, including artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning, advanced analytics, and high-performance computing. IBM Power Systems benefit from a wide range of open technologies, many stemming from collaboration with fellow Open Power Foundation members, and they're designed to deliver performance efficiently, whether deployed in private, public, or hybrid clouds. To learn more about the IBM Power System AC922 platform for enterprise AI, visit twimmelai.com/IBM Power. And now, on to the show. All right, everyone, I am on the line with Sharif Mitias. Sharif is CIO and Vice President of Strategy with TGI Fridays. Sharif, welcome to This Week in Machine Learning and AI.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Why don't we get started by having you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to get involved in AI?
Yeah, well, it's been a circuitous route. You know, I started my career actually in consulting, worked with a number of Fortune 500 retailers, restaurant brands, consumer products organizations, and really throughout my career, helping organizations think about kind of really innovation, talking about how do we create, how do we evolve and really drive innovation from an organizational perspective to allow us to better meet really the end state goals, whether that is drive revenue, reduce cost, greater guest engagement. And really, you know, as the underpinnings of that throughout my career has been technology. Technology enables us to do different things, to do things that allows us to look at things differently, really at scale. And for very large organizations, being able to do things at, you know, an individual or customer level is really enabled by technology. You'll never have enough bodies, so to speak, to be able to target individual guests without the use of technology. And so, you know, as my career continued to evolve, continued to rely and really utilize technology to drive innovation, and now in my current role, really driving, you know, kind of the question of what's next? What's next for restaurants? What's next for engaging guests, both inside our four walls as well as outside? And really utilizing, you know, the power now of AI and chatbots and the new technologies to create a different level of guest engagement, to really create more intimacy and that one-to-one connection that every brand strives to have. You know, we go back to You know, the first TGI Fridays over 50 years ago was that first bar and grill in New York where the bartender connected one-on-one with that guest. And, you know, coming back now 50 plus years later, when we serve over 500,000 guests per day across our network globally, how do we go back to connecting with those individuals on a one-to-one basis? AI allows us to do that.
Can you elaborate on how? If you think about it at face value, you know, maybe, you know, you think about it in the opposite way, right? That AI kind of gets in between human to human connections. How are you looking at it?
Yeah, so we're looking at it really in two ways. I mean, the old adage of, you know, help me be better and don't hinder, right? So from a do no harm is, you know, kind of the physician's adage. And so when we think about AI and really specifically technology, it's how does it make our people better? How does it make our team members in the restaurants better? How does it make us better from a corporate perspective? And in really in two ways. So, you know, from a when our guests are outside our restaurants, they're on social platforms, they're talking to voice assisted devices, they're doing things on a daily basis, whether mobily or, you know, sitting behind a desk, that drives engagement, that they want to be engaged, right? They want to talk to their friends, they want to understand what's happening, they want to share things. And we use AI to be part of that conversation. So through our chatbots, for example, we use AI to listen. We understand when people are talking about certain drinks. We understand when it's a hot day in New York and they're talking about Long Island iced teas. And so we use AI to capture first information and then to suggest the next best action, right? So for that individual guest who's thinking about that old adage, you know, kind of, what do I do tonight? You know, what are we going to do tonight? Where are we going to go? Being part of their daily kind of interaction with their friends on the social platforms, utilizing AI to come up with that, well, send this individual this specific content at this specific time on this specific platform is really powerful. So being able to connect with individuals using technology allows the people on our social media team, for example, to have higher level conversations. They know more about these guests. They're using AI to be smarter in how they respond in certain cases. So we have the bots respond, but we also have humans still respond, and it makes them better. Similarly, inside our restaurants, we have loyalty members, for example. And so if I can tell the host or hostess through AI that a loyalty member is in the bar, and this is what they've had before, this is their favorite drink, this is how they like to engage, imagine how much more powerful that information is for a bartender or a host or a server knowing who that individual guest is, and we make them better. We create a better experience for the guest because we know who you are, and we provide that information through the technology to our servers inside the restaurant.
In that latter scenario, where does AI come in relative to traditional loyalty types of, you know, technology, is like a CRM system?
Yeah. So what we do is the kind of the data, the CRM, the guest profile information sits behind the scenes, but AI then says, okay, I know not only who this person is, but given what others have done, what other actions people have taken, I suggest you offer X. I suggest that we surprise and delight this guest because we can show a return on offering whatever it is, that second drink. We can offer something suggestive that we feed to our servers or bartenders to be able to kind of, again, deliver the next best action as it relates to our guest. So it's beyond predictive. It's really around what are some of the different options that the machine is telling us should work to help either drive loyalty, increase frequency, or drive the check average higher.
Hmm. So your initial efforts in this space have been focused on chatbots, both outside the store and in the store. Taking a step back, how did you think about the space of AI and the opportunity presented by AI as a whole and determine where to start?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we kind of started, and again, I'll profess, we are still in the crawl of the crawl, walk, run.
I think we all are.
Yeah, and this sector is this technology is really, I think we're just starting to scratch the surface. So when we step back, we obviously did the first thing, which is we just talked to a lot of people. You know, the old, you know, I'm a big proponent of don't be the smartest person in the room. And so we reached out to a lot of folks. We reached out to a lot of different third parties and partners. And just start understanding what are the use cases out there, right? What are other people at least exploring, whether that be, and we heard a lot about customer service, right? So we talked to a lot of folks mm-hmm. that were using AI in their help desks and their, you know, customer service, you know, call centers. And that was interesting. And we obviously have our own call center. People call 1-800 Fridays. But we felt that was, you know, interesting, but too far removed, right? We were wanting to use AI more around that first interaction or that kind of very user kind of guest facing activity that, again, is understanding how they think about considering where they're going to go tonight for a food or a beverage occasion. So instead of kind of what I would consider kind of the back end when someone wants to call you and ask a question, I wanted to get out in front of it and be more kind of using AI to really understand the voice of the customer and to be able to respond with more relevant and more personalized content. So that's what really started the path on. So how do we do that? And so we started from a guest first perspective that said, well, where are our guests? When they're not with us, where are they and what are they doing? Obviously, they're on social. Obviously, they're talking to things. They're typing things. And so we started our journey by understanding where they are and then start and then ask questions on, well, what do we want AI to solve, right? So we went back to some of the KPIs and said, well, from a metrics perspective, we're after, you know, loyalty. We want loyal guests. We want them to come in more often, right? So from a frequency perspective, and we want them to spend more when they're with us, whether they're dining inside a restaurant or picking up an order to go or delivered. And so if you start with those questions, then you kind of work backward and say, well, how can AI help that? Well, first we need to understand, right? So to me, the first thing that AI really before we kind of got into AI is we had to listen. We had to collect data. And that led us to chatbots, right? Because chatbots are not only just delivery mechanisms, they're listening mechanisms as well. They help you understand what people are talking about, what questions, what dialogues they're having as it relates to the brand. Then we had to connect the dots. So then we used some other third parties to say, okay, I've got purchase behavior. I know what people buy. I know when they buy it. I know where they are when they buy it. And then I have all these interactions that are happening on social platforms and voice-enabled devices. I also have kind of information when they call our 1-800 Fridays call centers. I know credit card data. I know Foursquare data. I know all this data. But now I need something to stitch it together and help me understand what to do with it, right? Kind of what do I do with this? How do I pull the insights and create that next best action for my guest? And that's kind of the path we took.
I imagine a big part of the challenge in approaching these various AI projects has been in that latter piece that you made sound so easy with connecting the dots, right? Can you elaborate on some of what went into making all that happen?
Yeah. So again, it goes back to not being the smartest people in the room. We partnered with a very early stage startup out of Seattle that really helped us pull all this structured and unstructured data together and started creating not just micro segments, but really the opportunity to differentiate, you know, Sally versus Mary. And we ran a bunch of pilots, as you can imagine, to, you know, really start honing in on, well, do we really know Sally? And then I know someone that looks like Sally, but she's slightly different. So but I don't know her name yet. So let's call her Sally B and Sally C. And so we started kind of really, again, creating mini personas of individual guests. And this tool really helps us, again, literally, I use the vernacular and they use it before I even met them, connect the dots. Because everyone swims in data, it's this opportunity to really pull it together and say, this is Sally, and Sally needs something different than Mary, even though they'd be in that same demographic, psychographic, geographic bucket. They are two totally different individuals. And our first pilot was crazy. I mean, we did this where we just took a group of people that we had identified their individual personas. It was about 10,000 people.
How were those 10,000 selected?
We basically, just because we believed we knew a lot about them through this data stitching activity. They weren't loyalty members, right? So we didn't have them already in our database. These were just individual guests that we had been able to pull from their, again, restaurant activity, their online activity, their social activity, et cetera. And we sent them a message. We sent them a message on whatever platform they happened to be on, if they had given us permission. So they had obviously interacted with us somehow in the past, but they weren't loyalty members. We sent them a message, a non-discount message that was just relevant to them. So for instance, Mary, we knew, liked, for whatever reason, she drank wine on Tuesday nights. And she always had a girls' night on Tuesday nights. So we figured it might be some book club, might be something that was encouraging Mary to have wine on Tuesday nights.
Okay.
So we sent a message to Mary about a wine special just for her on Tuesday night at her local Fridays.
And you said that's not, it wasn't discount, it wasn't a discounting promotion, it was some other kind of special?
It was just a special, like, we have this new wine at our restaurant, we'd like you to come try it. And we sent it to her Tuesday at 5 p.m., right? So right before we knew she was about to go out. Well, each person of this 10,000 had a different message like that. We had a 78% click-through rate. And then out of that 78%, we tracked half of that group actually ordered something that we could tell, that because we knew that we were able to track them. Some people we couldn't track, so they may have ordered, but they used cash or something, we didn't know. Without a discount, we drove purchase of 1/3 of that group. And so it was the power, again, of a very personalized message at the right time that was powered basically by this AI tool that we had partnered with.
And what was that company?
They're called Amperity.
Amperity?
Yep.
And is that something where, is that a like a cloud service of some sort, or is it software that you're running, or more service that they delivered?
It's a service they deliver.
Okay. Interesting. And so you've kind of collected all this, did you find in going through the process that there was some data or that you needed that you didn't have?
There's always data. You'd always like to have more in this business, obviously. And I think it really comes down to the ability to really connect with folks, that piece of information that says, I want to go beyond email and in-app messages, right? It's the ability to figure out specifically, you know, I'm tied to you here. You're talking to my bot on Facebook or on Twitter, you know, understanding exactly how I can provide a message on various devices at the right time, because we're still a little hindered by, you have to approve every kind of communication channel. More information there and more ability to connect with you beyond just email and in-app would be powerful. The other piece that we're trying to get into is friends of people that we know, right? So going back to Mary, I know Mary went out for Tuesday wine. I don't know enough yet about Mary's friends, right? And the group that we also are trying to target, as you can imagine, are very friend-driven from a recommendation engine perspective, right? So in a group of friends, someone always asks, well, where are we going tonight? They take the input of their friends, right? So if I can get one of those friends to suggest Fridays first, I got to win. Right. And so we're really working hard now to understand, okay, how do I get into the networks of these people that I know to create more engagement, to create more recommendation opportunities, to be able to extend basically our reach of those that we really know into those that we would like to know and help us recommend.
And what does that mean for you to explore something like that? Do you have some set of folks that are kind of dedicated to R&D? Are you doing? You have kind of an evolving proof of concept or some effort that you're working on to try to explore these avenues? Or is it more keeping your eyes open and ears to the ground and seeing what other folks are doing?
Yeah. So right now we have a couple people that, you know, again, I kind of dedicate to the what's next category. They're always kind of searching, talking to, you know, new startups, third parties to understand, you know, what's emerging, what's possible. And so they are kind of my, you know, my seekers, so to speak, in terms of going out and trying to understand what can we leverage, what's new and innovative. In this case, in that specific example I gave, we have early conversations going in terms of how to make that happen. We don't have a pilot rolling out yet, but to me, it's the next piece we need to push through.
In terms of the get it down, the I forget, what was the name of the company that you mentioned?
Amperity.
And I guess I'm curious about the various technology pieces and platforms that were used to pull all this together. So Amperity sounds like they had a big part in the connecting the dots pieces, you know, pulling information from, I'm assuming, various silos that you've got, your CRMs, your transactional systems, et cetera, and making that available via some fashion. But then there are pieces like the chat platform itself. Did you use an off-the-shelf platform or did you build one yourself? Some of the kind of the AI or analytics pieces that you describe for determining the next best offer, you know, is that stuff that you built yourself or stuff that you used off the shelf? Can you talk a little bit about the technology landscape that enables all this?
Sure. So kind of the underlying, what I'll call kind of data warehouse area is powered by Microsoft. We're obviously all in the cloud with Azure. We have, you know, the data lakes that kind of house all the information for us. Kind of feeding that, obviously, we have all our, to your point, transactional data, whether that be from our restaurants, that's driven by, from a front of house perspective, Micros, back of house, NCR. We have the online platform that drives data into that, which is powered by Adobe and our Hybris platform from SAP. So those are kind of the big pieces of data. You know, moving on to the new technologies like our chatbots and the AI that powers those, we partnered with a great firm out of Austin called Conversable, and Conversable powers all of that for us, whether it be on Facebook, Twitter, Amazon Alexa, and we just launched with GM's OnStar platform. So we're in millions of OnStar vehicles now.
Do people actually use that?
They do, believe it or not. yes. And, you know, we've just started with them, so we don't have the ordering turned on, but we have the, you can make a reservation for a table, like on your way in the car, you're looking for a restaurant. Okay. It obviously gives you directions to the local Fridays. Pretty soon we'll add the capability to, you know, have your first drink waiting for you at the table on your way. So yeah, I mean, we got a lot of fun things planned. Again, engaging. We're a fun and social brand, but Conversable helps power all that. They also have the AI engine behind that that allows us to create new content personalized to the conversation that's occurring across the different platforms. That all, again, feeds into, it's kind of a loop into Amperity that helps us understand these personas, connects the dots, feeds that back into things like Conversable so that the machine learns and can be better at targeting what they say to Mary versus Sally. So that's really the kind of the core engines of our technology.
With regards to the work that Conversable did and, or rather the work that you did around the chatbot, like how much of the process of getting that up and running did the vendor do versus your team do, and where are the interfaces and the leverage points and things like that, if that question makes any sense?
Yeah, sure. No, we relied, you know, in that example on Conversable a great deal to really help from a technical perspective and from an integration perspective, obviously working with the Facebook and Twitters and Amazons of the world, GM of the world, to do all the integration pieces, to really set up, again, kind of the wireframe, so to speak, the building blocks of what we needed to have. So my team was more around helping what I would call tailor the experience, you know, and making sure that it's, you know, it's in a Friday's voice, right? And making sure that it's connecting in the right way so that, you know, A, the bots are not inappropriate. They're doing the right things, right? So I would say the walls, the house, you know, is built by Conversable. I would say, you know, my team is more around putting the paint on the walls and the artwork on the walls to make sure it's ours versus some generic bot.
So the bots, you know, there's this whole integration piece that talks to all of the various platforms. And then there's the natural language understanding, natural language processing stuff that, you know, typically is like understanding the intent of the person that you're talking to and like what are the various, you know, entities and things like that that people might be talking about and all of that kind of stuff. Is that all things that your team had to come up to speed on, or is that stuff that you relied on the vendor to handle for you?
Yeah, a great deal of that we relied on Conversable. Obviously, as my team got more learned, I would say, we had more input. We started asking more questions that helped, I think, make the combined team better. And I think, but yeah, clearly we kind of jumped with both feet, not sureing where we were landing. We relied a great deal on our partners to get us up to speed quickly. And then really a lot of that initial, what I'll call trial and error, we continued to refine as we got smarter. As we got smarter, they got smarter in terms of what our guests were doing from an interaction perspective. Mm-hmm. And really, I think the interesting piece was the nuance in terms of how do you have to refine it by platform. Just doing what we did when we launched Facebook as our first one, you couldn't just replicate it onto Twitter. It was different conversations, different guests, different vernacular in certain cases that we had to employ, right? Because it's a different user group in a lot of cases.
Right.
And then similarly, when we went to Amazon, right? It's a completely different because people are talking versus typing. And so it was that kind of refinement on, to your point, how do you ensure that you're understanding the context of the discussion is very different by platform. And that's really where we started to integrate and started to work together a lot more because we could see these conversations happening even before the bot, right? We were talking to people with humans. And so that's where we started inputting a lot more in terms of the tone and the content that we needed to have to be Fridays in these conversations.
Right. And so was this effort entirely driven by IT, or did you partner with a particular area of the business to drive this forward? And, you know, what are kind of, at least at Fridays, like what do those relationships look like with regards to AI? Are the businesses kind of asking for this stuff, or are you more out in front trying to figure it out and providing examples that will get them interested?
Yeah, I think initially we were out in front. You know, this was something that we were pushing. I wanted to push specifically because I felt it helped differentiate us from our competition, right? We're looking for, you know, how do we be different? And I don't want to compete against Chili's and Applebee's because I don't consider them my competition. I consider competition of anyone that's thinking about going for a drink or a bite of food, right? And so that's a much larger landscape. And so I'm competing against Starbucks in certain cases, right? And so I think, you know, we have to be more technologically forward and innovative in the eyes of our guests. So we pushed a lot of that initially. But I'll tell you, as soon as we started doing some of these tests and we started, you know, partnering and showing our friends and my counterpart in marketing, you know, they came right on board. They're like, now they're pushing us, like, you know, faster, more, right? I want to know Sally versus Mary because I want to send them specific content, right? So they're pushing, and we have a great partner. My CMO colleague, Stephanie Perdue, and I are connected at the hip on this and really working to figure out, again, how do we continue to push the needle here? Similarly, on the operations side, you know, bringing the benefit of AI into our operators and into the four walls. You know, our head of operations here and I are also now like, what's next? You know, can we give wearables to the servers so that they're getting real-time information about who's walking in the door? And so it's a lot of, again, people starting to see the power of what this can do. And now we're, I'd say we're much more in lockstep in terms of how fast, how far, you know, and how much.
And so how do you see the role of the IT of your organization shifting to accommodate the broader interest in these technologies?
Yeah, I mean, to me, our role still has to be what's next. For us, you know, I pride my team in pushing them to really continue to push the ball forward, continue to ask the question, what's next? What are other people even thinking about that we can be first, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, we were first to use Amazon Pay on Amazon Alexa. We're one of the first brands on new GM OnStar's marketplace. We're, you know, one of the first brands to connect one-click ordering on Facebook and Twitter. And so those types of things to me, again, help differentiate us. You know, I look to the Starbucks and the Domino's of the world because they are truly technology companies that happen to sell coffee and pizza. I want Fridays to be recognized from a technology perspective as being technology first, technology forward, that happen to sell beer and ribs. And I think we get rewarded for that. I think our guests appreciate that. And so that to me is the role that my team has, and very proud of their work and their efforts because they continue to lead and drive the innovation forward.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a short list of things that you see as being those next set of things?
Yeah, I really want to do more with bringing digital inside the restaurant, right? A lot of effort by us and our counterparts is, you know, when people are walking around outside the four walls, right? All the right. mobile things. And I'm, you know, my big push for this coming year is how do we bring those digital experiences inside the four walls? You know, whether it's an interactive bar, a virtual bartender, you know, there's so many things that you can think about bringing technology, not in an obtrusive fashion, but again, to support the environment, that social occasion we want our guests to have with our team members and bartenders. How does technology potentially play there and make it not only fun, but creates a unique experience that guests say, well, that's cool. And the only place I can do that is at Fridays. That's what we're really pushing for next year. And I think the next couple of years is to create that more seamless integration between off-premise and in-restaurant as it relates to digital, and then how AI and some of these other technologies can help support that.
Mm-hmm. And are there specific directions that you're planning ahead to enable that, or are you kind of still trying to figure all that out?
Well, I can't spill all my secrets on this, but you know, I think there's a lot of things that are in the works. We're still trying to figure some of it out, to be honest. I have the benefit of having a test restaurant, so to speak, a little lab that we get to try fun things. So, you know,
that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a ton of fun. So I've been able to try, you know, bar tops that are like iPads, and being able to do things around the TVs around our bar that bring, again, the guest into the experience. So those are just little teasers, and we'll have to talk next year so I can give you more.
Awesome. Awesome. And then as you think to rolling all of this out, what strike you as some of the big challenges that you'll face in the process?
Yeah, I think the biggest, two big challenges. One is to make sure we don't get too far in front of our guests or our organization. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes technology just for technology's sake can be a massive failure, right? It gets too far in front. Guests aren't sure what to do with it. They don't see it as a value. Our operations can't support it. So I can give good information to someone, but if they don't do anything with it, it was a failed exercise, right? And so I think it's making sure that we continue to be in lockstep and have our guests tell us what they're looking for, you know, in certain cases to be more convenient, frictionless, more fun, social, et cetera. And then our operators as well to tell us what they can handle and what we can ensure they execute on a daily basis across our 900 plus restaurants. I think the other piece that we have to just make sure of is that, again, there's a lot of cool things we can do, right? And at the end of the day, you know, cool doesn't pay the bills. We have to make sure that everything we do is tied to an ROI, is tied to a returnable, you know, whether that be, you know, obviously revenue is the easiest thing to measure, but even guest engagement and frequency and loyalty. And, you know, if it doesn't tie back to one of those strategic pillars, then it may be cool, but it's not going to be for us. And so I think we have to continue to always I would say, measure ourselves or guard ourselves against getting too far out and then also doing things that just have PR value, but don't really move the needle for the organization.
Right. Anything else you'd like to leave the audience with?
Well, I think the only thing I think, you know, if people are even considering doing this or they're starting their efforts, you know, to me, there's just a few lessons learned that I would impart here at the end. You know, one again is really take your time. You know, there's no award for speed in this area. You know, the technology can get overwhelming. Take your time, learn it, test the heck out of it. Make sure it's right for what you want to achieve, because it can do a lot, but can also get you in trouble if you don't have some guardrails. The second thing I'd say is, you know, going back to the earlier conversation, don't try to do this alone. This is a wide open kind of Wild West frontier. There are some good emerging partners out there. My suggestion is to utilize them, even if it's to have a conversation, so that you don't bloody your knees where that path's already been taken. And finally, just always remember what you're doing it for. In our case, it's for the guest, and ensuring that you always kind of keep that in mind and tie it back to, you know, what are the key questions that you're trying to answer, and is it really going to make, you know, your customer, your guest better in terms of their interaction, their experience with your brand. For us, that's kind of the holy grail. If it doesn't impact them in a positive light, in a positive way, then we don't do it.
That all sounds like excellent advice. Sounds like you've been down this road a few times.
Yes, a lot of bloody knees.
Well, Sharif, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me this morning. I really appreciate all the insights into what you're doing there at Fridays.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
All right, everyone. That's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening and for your continued feedback and support. For more information on Sharif or any of the topics covered in this episode, head on over to twimmelai.com/talk/82. To follow along with the AI Summit series, visit twimmelai.com/AI Summit. Of course, you are encouraged to send along your feedback or questions to us, either by leaving a note right on the show notes page or via Twitter at @TwimmelAI or at Sam Charrington. Thanks again to IBM Power for their sponsorship of this series. For more information about the IBM Power Systems platform for enterprise AI, visit twimmelai.com/IBM Power. Thanks once again for listening, and catch you next time.